Remain standing, take your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, we're going to read verses 11 through 14 together. And we will read this passage responsively. Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 14. Sorry, had to grab my water there. Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 14. We'll read this passage responsively. You follow along, and we'll alternate through the passage together. Philippians 4, verses 11 through 14. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with mine affliction. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us. Lord, we need the scripture and we need the preaching of your word today. I believe if Jesus were here on earth in Martinsburg in this church, that he would give this truth to our church today. And I pray that you'd use us and help us in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. He had to move my microphone. He's too tall. Thank you, Thomas. Great job. Probably one of the most, and I'm going to use the word familiar or famous verses in the Bible is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, I say that to say this, we probably use that verse wrongly more than we use it rightly. I want to teach it right today, and I want to show you some things about it and preach at you for a little while. I have been privileged to watch great leaders and study great leaders in history. I don't read fiction books. I read a lot of biographies. I don't think it's wrong to read fiction. I just don't like being lied to. I just don't. I don't enjoy fiction. I spend my life in truth. I don't want somebody telling me a lie. I don't need something fairy tale. I just read truth. So I read a lot of biographies. I read about great men. Oh, I've read about General George S. Patton Jr. and Douglas MacArthur. And there's a book out called The West Point Way of Leadership and how they train leaders at West Point. And I've read Andrew Jackson, and I've read U.S. Grant, and I've read just hundreds of biographies of great leaders of years gone by. I've read biographies about Christian leaders, George Whitefield, and I've read J. Frank Norris, D. L. Moody, Charles Spurgeon, Lee Roberson, Curtis Hudson, you name it. I've read biography after biography after biography, George Mueller and others. Now, some of them I don't even agree with doctrinally, but they were great people. Now, listen to me very carefully. Great people are usually average people who do above average things. Great people are generally average people who do above average things. How do they do it? What makes these people do what others would not or did not do? Is it destiny? Is it just God allows certain people to do more than others? I don't think that's true. I don't think that God is a respecter of persons according to his word. See, God is, I really believe that great people are common people who keep going when others stop. Greatness is not something you do in advance. Greatness is something you just keep on doing. Some of the greatest people I know make statements like this. Greatness is not measured in years, it's measured in decades. In other words, we don't know how great it is for another 10, 20, 30, 40 years. Greatness is not measured by what happened today. It'll be measured what happened today in about 20 years. Today's greatness we won't see for decades. Now, listen to me very carefully. Great people face the same opposition and problems you and I face. But where most people get afraid or they get discouraged and they decide they're going to stop, great people keep going. They did not allow their fear, their depression, or their anxiety to keep them from going on. Now, people who have done great things don't wait until they're strong enough to go do something great. Let me say that again. Great people do not wait until they're strong enough to go out and do something great. Listen to this very carefully. People who have done great things start doing what they can do, and they just keep going till they can't go any longer. People who do great things do not wait for strength. They go do what they can do, and they just go until they can't go any farther. Now, they didn't wait until they felt like it to go out and do something. They just knew something needed done, and they went to do what they could do. Did you know when God came to Noah and said, I'm going to destroy the world by a flood, and I want you to build a boat? Noah really didn't understand all that it was going to take. Noah didn't understand it was going to take 120 years to build that boat. 450 feet wide, or long, 75 feet wide, and about 45 feet high. That's a big boat. And he couldn't go down to Home Depot or Lowe's and get all the lumber delivered. He had to go out and cut it all. Then he had to split it all. God bless him. That's enough to make you want to quit building the boat right there, amen? Then he had to put it all back together. You have to understand something. God said, Noah, it's going to rain. And the world had never seen rain up until that point in time. Can you imagine how he was being persecuted and laughed at building a boat? He was over 500 miles from the nearest body of water that could even float the thing. Now, wait a minute. Noah didn't stop. He just kept going. And he is in Scripture today because God said he kept going where others stopped. You have David with Goliath. David was the most unlikely of Jesse's sons to be king of Israel. And matter of fact, the ones that were most likely were out in the battle one day. His daddy said, I want you to take a care package to him. And he delivered the care package. While he was there, some 9.5, 10-foot-tall goon got out and started cursing God and swearing, making fun of the God of Israel. And David said, somebody better shut that dude's mouth up. He's defying God. And nobody volunteered. And David said, I'll do it. He knew something needed done. He didn't go and practice and say, I'll be back in 2 years. When I grow up and get a little bit more meat on my bones, I'll go out there and fight him. I'm going to go train for a couple years. No, he didn't train. He just went out and fought the Goliath giant, and he won because of the power of God in his life. You had the three Hebrew boys, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, in the book of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar had made I call it a totem pole. It was a statue of himself. Nebuchadnezzar was weird. It was 6 feet wide and 90 feet tall. Now, can you imagine somebody that's 6 foot wide and 90 foot tall? You talk about out of proportion. That was it. But when the rock music started, they were all supposed to fall down and worship this image. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego said, we're not bowing the knee. We're children of God. We're children of Israel, and we're not going to bend to a false god. And the king said, I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace. Gave them a second chance, and they stood there and said, you can give us all the chances in the world. We're not bending the knee to a false god. By the way, America needs to get back to that. Because they did not bow the knee, by the way, Nebuchadnezzar did have them thrown into the fiery furnace. And they said, our God will deliver us, but if not, they weren't sure God was or not. But either way, they were going to be with God, because if they died, they were going to be in the presence of God. If they lived through it somehow, even though they couldn't see how, they knew God was going to do it. Well, they threw three in. Jesus was in the fire with them. They became unloosed. They were walking about in the fire, warming the hands with Jesus. Nebuchadnezzar called in, called them back out. They walked out, and their clothes didn't even smell like smoke. That's better than some people, amen? Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? They did what they could do and let God do what they could not do. Daniel with the lion's den. Daniel was an older man, probably in his 60s or 70s when they threw him into the lion's den. And I'm not going to go into the whole story, but when they put him down there, he was an older man and they put him in and left him there all night. God allowed those lions, even though they were hungry, to curl up around him, and one became his pillow, the other became his blanket. And the king came back the next morning and said, "Oh, Daniel, are you still alive?" Now that's not word for word, just so you know. I'm not trying to quote scripture there, all right? But he said, "Daniel, are you still alive in there?" He said, "O king, live forever. I'm still here. God has delivered me." And it's amazing, the people who got that law signed into place, after they lifted Daniel out of the lion's den, they got those people together and threw them down there. And before their bones hit the ground, the lions had snapped them in two. They weren't hungry for supper, but they were hungry for breakfast. Amen. We could take the story of Esther. Esther went to Ahasuerus, the king, and ended up becoming his queen and trying to deliver the children of Israel. And God used a little maiden from Israel to deliver the Jews by the hand of Ahasuerus. Now, wait a minute. These people did not get strength and then say they were going to go do something big. They were common people who kept on going when they didn't feel like they could keep going any farther. I hear people all the time misuse Philippians 4:13. They get down, they get tired, and they say, "Oh, I've got this burden, I've got this problem, but I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I'm going to sit right here, I'm going to wait till God gives me the strength, and then I'm going to get up and I'm going to make it happen." And they misuse Philippians 4:13. It doesn't say I can wait for my strength and do all things. You see, God does not tell us to sit on our do nothing and God will miraculously give us strength to do something. God says the doing of what he gives us to do gives us the strength to do something bigger than what we think we can do. It is not the sitting, it is the doing. I want you to notice what God says. I can do all things through Christ, not through who strengtheneth me. That little pronoun, which, that's not somebody in a black dress and a pointed black hat. That word, which, in other words, I can do all things through Christ, and by the doing of that, it will strengthen me to do more. Yes, sir. Amen. By the doing which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ, and the doing of that gives me more strength. Did you know that doing is the key to getting more strength?
That's good.
Yes, sir. Wow. We have weak Christians in our society today, and we have people dying and going to hell because they're sitting in their church pew this morning waiting for the strength to do what God told them to do. You don't get it by sitting on a pew or in a chair in a church building. You get it by getting up and doing what God said do. Let me try to say it this way. It's kind of like people that want to get stronger physically. I don't need to go to the gym to work out. I'm strong enough. Amen. But it cracks me up. I've been into a few gyms before. And you walk in, the first thing that's there is some couches and chairs. I think that is the funniest thing about any gym I've ever walked into. And you always see people sitting there. It's almost like they pay hundreds of dollars a year to a gym membership to go sit on the couch and say, I'm going to sit here till I'm strong enough to go exercise. Can I tell you something? You can sit on that couch till the cows come home. You're not going to get any stronger. You only get stronger by getting off the couch and going and doing. And in the process of doing, you get stronger. You know, you don't start off, well, you don't, I could, by lifting, bench pressing, you know, 150 pounds. You start with a lower weight and conquer that weight several times. And then you add to it. You don't build up. At one time, I worked out 3 days a week, boxed 3 rounds after the end of a workout. I was in pretty good shape for a while. I'm still in a pretty good shape. It's just changed what shape it is. I've been dropping weight. Started here and fell down to my waist. Hoping I live long enough for it to come out my feet. But I used to work out with one of the other assistant pastors I was on staff with while I was in Indiana. And we would work out every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, early in the morning. I'd meet him 4:30, 5 o'clock. We'd do calisthenics and exercises, and I did sit-ups on an inclined bench, and I'd get a 50-pound weight and do sit-ups with that. I'd work out on the bench. Well, I at that time, I weighed none of your business, but I only weighed about 10 pounds less than what I weigh right now, but I could bench 220, 230. I had worked up to where I was benching far more than I weighed, and I had worked up to that. You put 220 on the bench right now, and I lift it, and it's going to suffocate me because I'm not going to do that. There was a time when I could, but I would have to work myself back into that kind of shape. That's exactly what God is saying in Philippians 4:13. He's saying you start with what you can do, and in the process of doing what you can do, I'll add a little more to it, and you'll find out you're stronger than you think you are. I remember the first time that the other assistant pastor put 200 pounds on that bar, and I'm thinking, you're stupid. He said, Brother Bush, it's okay. You're strong enough. I believe you're strong enough. I'm thinking, I said, what if I get it down and can't get it up? He said, I'm here. I'll help toss it off your chest. Just don't drop it on your neck. It might take me too long to get it off your neck. Oh, that's real encouraging. He put 200 and I got it down. You know, getting it down is easy. Getting it back up is the hard part. I said, how about if I put it down, you put it up? And he said, no, you got to do both. And I remember struggling and struggling and struggling. I finally got that thing up. You say, why? I didn't want coming back down as hard as I thought it was going to come back at me. Now, wait a minute. God says it's time for us to get off the couch and get strength by doing what we can do. Let me use another Bible illustration. We won't turn there. But in the Bible, there's a parable about a fella who gave three people a talent or some talents. Now, those talents aren't like Thomas singing or Brother Stoltz playing his guitar, harmonica, juice harp, jug, whatever. Not those kind of talents. The talent was a portion of money. All right, it was a pretty large sum of money. It was about a year's worth of salary to most people or more. We're talking tens of thousands of dollars. And he gave one man five talents. He gave one man three talents. And another man, he gave one talent. And he said, I'm going to be gone for a while. When I come back, I want you to have used my money, my talents, and make me more money by this. I'm investing in you, and I'll give you a portion of what you make for me. In other words, he was using them, and this is not the exact terminology, but it would be similar to like an investment broker or a stock broker. He gave them money to invest to make him more money, and they would make a percentage off of it. And that is exactly what that parable is like. Now, to the one that had five, by the time the man came back, he had doubled it, and he now had 10 talents. To the one that had three, he had doubled it, same percentage, And he also had another three. So the man went from those two people of having 8 talents to having 16 talents. But to the one who only had 1 talent, he was afraid. Bible says that he did nothing with the money. He put it in a box, dug a hole, and buried it so he wouldn't lose any of the money. And the Bible said when he came to that man, he said, "Thou slothful servant, you didn't even get me common interest. You didn't even get just simple interest on this. It's worth no more than it was when I left you." Say, what is that? The master was upset that he didn't do anything with what he was given. He was afraid of losing some of it. So instead of risking some, instead of building it up, he just did nothing with it. And the master said, "Thou art a slothful servant." And he took that talent away and gave it to the one that had 5 talents and said, "Go ahead and increase this one too. I'm going to give you a little bit more to work with." In other words, we're supposed to take what we have, use it till it's all used up. But guess what? In the using of it up, God will give you more strength. Do you ever wonder if you're able going to pick your feet up one more step? Do you ever have enough tragedy come to where you were not willing to answer the phone again? And there's days that come and it's like, "I'm not sure I want to answer my phone. I've heard enough bad news. I've heard enough tragedy. I don't want to turn the TV on and watch the news and find out who killed, how many have been killed, how many people are dying, how many wars are going on. I don't want to listen to any more bad news." But guess what? The sun's coming up tomorrow. And I got to get up with it. Actually, before it. Guess what? In the getting up, we get strength to meet the new day. Now, let me give you a few statements about how to get real strength. Number one, God gives strength for a task, not a task for the strength you have now. God does not look down at you, Brother Bob, and say, "Bob, this is how strong you are, and I'm going to give you something that you can handle and won't be very heavy at all." Say, why? That won't help Bob get stronger. And if Bob does that task over and over and over and over and over, eventually, because we're all sinners, Bob, you, me, or anybody else would say, "Look what I'm doing. Look what I can do," instead of, "Look what God's doing." So God doesn't come down and say, "Bob, I'm going to give you this, and this is all you're ever going to do. Because you'll get so good at it, you'll get arrogant like me, and you'll take the credit for it." God says, "If I give you something, it's going to be bigger than you think you can handle." By the way, after you conquer that one, he says, "I got another one waiting on you. Hang on, I'm going to add to it." You think, "I just got through that one." I remember it was 1987. Remember that, Brother Stoltz? It was going to be the 100th anniversary of the church that Brother Hiles pastored. He wanted to have more people in church than lived within the city limits of Hammond. There were 78,000 people living in Hammond. Now, our church was averaging 20, 25,000 people. Lord have mercy. I went 30 days and slept less than 2 hours a night. We were planning open air meetings all over. It was a mess. I literally for 10, 15 years felt the effect of that one big day. I had ruined my health from it. I mean, it was bad. But we had seen I think we had somewhere in the neighborhood of 82, 83,000 people that day that we reached. It was amazing what God did. I thought, wow, it'll never get any bigger. Then he decides he wants to have Pentecost Sunday. He wanted to have 3,000 people saved in one day. We had over 5,000 people saved in one day. Then he decided to do it again the next year. Not only did he want 3,000 people saved, he wanted 3,000 people baptized. We had something like 5,395 people baptized and over 16,000 people saved in one day. I said, good, we're done with this. He decided to do it again. He decided he wasn't going to call it Pentecost 3. He's going to call it Jubilee Sunday, give it a different name, but it was the same thing. You know, every time we ended up doing more than we had done before, but we were able to do that because we had done what we could do before.
Right.
Yes, sir. Everybody understand that? Man, I baptized over 340 some people myself in about 2.5 or 3 hours in one of those days. I hurt for a week. Have you ever baptized 350 people in one day? That is not easy to do. You say, well, they float. You know how many people are afraid of water? And we don't use a cup, amen? We do it God's way. Now, listen to me very carefully here. God gives you the strength for the task. He doesn't give you a task for the strength you do have. You know, for you to grow, you have to have something bigger than you've done before. If you're going to get stronger lifting weights, you don't take the 10-pound bar off, put 10 pounds on each side, and never lift anymore. You got to keep adding weight to it a little bit at a time to get stronger and stronger. Some of you, your fork weighs that much. All right? Now, God sends bigger tasks for you so that you can rely on Him more to do more than you thought you could do. Did you know that God wants to see His power work through you? He does not care that you get the credit. You say, well, that sounds arrogant. No, God's holy. He deserves the credit. He made you. He wants the praise for what gets done. Did you know that God deserves the praise for what gets done in your life, not you?
There
is so much that happens around here. I wish you knew how many times I get to praise God. Say why? Because it's Him doing the work, not me. My wife said something to me this morning. I think she's in the nursery this morning. She said something. She said something about something I had been working on. I said, honey, that's God, not me. She said, yeah, but He's using you. And I kept saying, honey, it's God. It's not me. There's no way that a man can do that. God has to do that. When God called me to preach 35 years ago, it was God, not me. You're looking at a guy that was afraid to get up in front of a school class and give an oral book report. Matter of fact, failed all of them if I had to because I didn't like talking in front of people. You don't believe that now, but it's true. Say, what happened? God. It had to be God. Now, listen to me. As you add burdens, God adds strength. As you add burdens, God adds strength. As you add heartache in your life, God adds strength. You know, I don't have the strength to go through some of the things I get till I've gone through what I have to go through. You don't get strength for the burden that you're facing till you've gone through the last burden. Can I tell you when you start feeling overwhelmed when you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing? I didn't say you're going to understand it all. Look at this. I've read that book cover to cover so many times. I average 2 or 3 times a year. I've probably read that book nearly 100 times in my life, all the way through every word. Do you know there's not one place in that Bible where God says, understand me? But I can show you hundreds and thousands of places where He says, trust me. Trust me. Trust me. If you could understand God, you would be greater than God. God doesn't tell you to understand why. He just says, carry the load, and I'll show you why later. The world says, well, you're under duress. You need to start lightening your load. There are times physically where you need to do some things and rearrange your schedule. I understand that. I understand it quite well. Recently, Miss K needed to give up teaching Sunday school. You say, why? She's old. No, it just got to the point where it was getting too hard on her, but thank God she didn't give up. She didn't leave church because she gave up teaching Sunday school. You know, there are times you have to change some things in life. As the body wears down, you don't do everything you used to do. You know, from here up, I'm still 20. Past that, forget it. Matter of fact, it's from about here to here, because if you look at the hair, it's not 20 anymore. I've had to shrink how much that is anymore, amen? Under the lid, I'm still what I was when I was in Bible college. But when I start trying to do what I did then, it's the longer recovery, amen? Good night. But the world says, well, you've got a burden. Take all the time off you need. No, you need to keep doing things. I was thinking of Ray, your dear wife. She got burned here about a week and a half ago. She was at the school cooking in the kitchen, pulled out a tray out of the warmer, and the tray underneath it fell out and was full of hot gravy, and it poured all over her feet. Just blistered her feet up like you would not believe. I wouldn't even show most of you the pictures, because you'd have to be standing over the wash pot or the can, because you're going to throw up. I mean, they were blisters the size of my hands on her feet. I mean, just nasty. She's not been able to be in church. By the way, she'll text me and say, Preacher, I tried. Ray told me, he said, Preacher, she got shoes on yesterday for about 2 minutes. I said, it was probably a minute and a half too long, wasn't it? And he said, yeah. I know her heart's here. I don't understand why, but can I tell you something? She's going to carry the load. She's going to help somebody. She's going to carry the load and help somebody with it. Everybody doing okay? Sure. Well, you have a heartache. You need to quit work, and you need to quit that, and you need to quit this, and you need to quit that. And we have people that are laying on the couch, depressed, on medication, when they need to get up off their blessed do-nothing and get the strength to get through it. Number two, I gotta hurry. God's tasks will always be above your strengths. God's tasks will always be above your strengths. Isn't that what growing is all about? You don't grow by not having something bigger than what you are. For many, 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 many months, my wife was babysitting Brother Stoltz's grandchildren. That little Jordan is the cutest little guy. Thank God he looks like his grandmother. He's got his grandfather's hair and teeth. No teeth, no hair. But he is just the cutest little guy. He's about 8, 9 months old. He's to the point where he's standing up. He's trying to think about walking. But that kid, from the time he was about 6 weeks old, he could hold his head up. He'd look around. He was as strong as a horse. And I'd get home sometimes, and he'd still be there. And recently, he was in one of those little walkers that's on wheels, and he'd be flinging around the house, and it was great. I'd pick him up. He was my buddy. I'd hold him in my lap, and I'd hold him by the fingers, and my wife would say, "Don't do that, he might fall." I said, "I can catch him." You say, what was I doing? He didn't know he could stand up like that. I was making him stronger by giving him something bigger than he had done before. Just a couple weeks ago, I had come home, and they were still there. And I sat down, and I looked up, and he saw me, and it was kind of jibber-jabber, and we were talking in intelligent language. And he looked at me, and he stood up in the middle of the room. He just crossed his legs, went like this, and stood up. My wife went, I said, "Has he done that before?" She said, and he wasn't holding on to the couch, wasn't holding on to that. I mean, just stood up in the middle of the room. And he was like, and then all of a sudden he realized what he was doing. Punk! That he does get from his grandfather. Did you know that from that point on, I'd help him stand up longer? Try to get him to walk a little bit. You know, you grab him by the fingers and say, "Okay, do this, you know. Say, what are you doing? You're trying to give them a task bigger than they are to make them strong enough to do what the next step is. Why would God be any different? You see, you don't know how much you can do until you try more. You don't know how much you can handle till you have more to handle. You don't know how much can get done till you do what's on your plate right now. You see, each and every burden you carry is there to make you stronger, not weaker.
Oh, preacher, it's just so heavy. I don't think I can go on anymore. God's given me more.
God said, I'll not give you more than you can bear. So if God puts it on the plate, keep shoveling it down the hatch. If God puts the burden on your back, take one more step. I don't always understand why God did not make me with his brain. My ways are not his ways. My thoughts are not his thoughts. But I do trust him. And if he gave it to us to bear, he will give us the wherewithal to make it.
Well, my heart just hurts.
He didn't say you're going to do it without a broken heart, but he said you could bear the burden.
Well, I just don't think I can go on.
He didn't give it to you to sit there and cry about.
Well, I'm just waiting on the strength to do this.
No, 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 no. That word wait does not mean sit and do nothing. It's like when you leave here and go to the restaurant, you have this little girl that'll walk up to the table. She'll be your waitress. You don't want her to sit down and not take your order, bring your food, and clear your table. You want her to serve you. That is what the word wait means in Scripture. It means serve and do what you can do, and God will give you the strength to go on to do the next step. Huh. The only way to do bigger things is to do bigger things. Did you know the only way to lift more weight is to lift more weight? Brother Barnes and I, a couple weeks ago, cut a big tree down at Bob's. Bob, he dang near killed me with that thing. We were cutting pieces of wood off. I promise you, they weren't any wider than this pulpit. And Evan Barnes couldn't get them up by himself. And he's half mule. And the other half is, yes. You said it. I didn't. Now, wait a minute. He said, preacher, I can't get this on back of the trailer. Can you help me? Yep. And the two of us got one log up. Well, that trailer's about that high. Got that thing up there, started to push it over, and I didn't get my left hand out of the way. And it's sitting on the edge of the trailer with this 300 or 400 pound log sitting on it. And Brother Barnes says, hang on, preacher. I got to readjust. I said, there's not time. Push that thing. I didn't think I could do it. But when there's enough pain involved, you can do it. I promise you, you can do it. He said, was that on your hand? I said, How come you didn't tell me? There wasn't time to tell you. But there wasn't time to dawdle about it either. We had to push that thing over. I didn't think I could do it. When the pressure's on, you can do it. I've done a lot of things I didn't think I could do. But I kept doing them. Kept doing what I could do and then let God kick in the rest. You see, the only way to do bigger things is to try bigger things. God may give you a heavy load. But if God gives you a heavy load, he thinks you're strong enough to carry it. If God gives you a heavy load, God believes you're strong enough to carry it.
I was thinking of this little couple right here, Joe and Ashley. God gave them a heavy load. They gave him Joe. No, their little boy Gus. He's a special boy. Gus doesn't think like what we would call normal people. Now, Gus is more normal than most people, but he's a special needs boy. Joe, Ashley, God thinks you're stronger than my wife and I. Because I don't have a Gus. I got Josh. Does that count? God didn't give me a Gus. I wasn't strong enough, but God knew you two were. God put Gus in their home because they're strong enough to deal with it. Now,
If you've ever dealt with one of those, there's days you don't feel like you are. But may I say this? God thought you were. Is it something you would have chose to pick up? Not 6 years ago. But they wouldn't put it down now. They wouldn't put it down now. I don't know why. Does it really matter? But God gives you a load you don't think you can handle. Guess what? You start handling it. How many of you, I'm not going to ask that question. If you've ever had more than one child, you know what I'm talking about. You go from one to two. The workload doubles. Then you go from two to three, and the workload quadruples. I don't know what it's like past that because I had better sense than to keep going. But may I say this? When you have one, you think, man, to be without one child. When you got three, four, five, six of them little puppies, you're thinking, man, just to get back to one would be good. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You carried the load long enough, it's like, one, no problem. You know that first one? You got up in the middle of the night. You heated the bottle. You picked the baby up. You changed it. You put the baby in your arms, sat on the rocking chair, put that bottle in his mouth. You hummed and coddled and fed and burped and everything else. By the time you had that third one, 2 o'clock in the morning came by, you got up, hit the microwave, pulled that thing out, walked in, rolled up the towel, stuck that thing in its mouth, set it on the towel, went back to sleep. Say why? That's how you handled the load. Everybody doing all right? Okay, hang in there. See, God gives you tasks that are above what you think you can do. God will give you a task above what you think you can do. When God said, I was supposed to start this church and pastor, I got alone and said, you're nuts. I know how Gideon felt. I didn't think I could. Guess what? God knew better. I just did what God said do. And we grab a hold and keep on going. Amen? Number three, and I'm done. Our doing, not our waiting, it is what gives us the strength to go on. Our doing, not our waiting, is what gives us our strength to go on. We fear too much. What if I try and it doesn't work out, preacher? Just try. Just try. Just keep on going. It's easy to say you're going to live by faith till you got to live by faith. It's easy to say live by faith until it's your adult children living by faith. Man, I'm looking at my son and daughter-in-law thinking, do you all really know what you're getting yourself into? I talked to him this week. I said, son, I'm going to talk as your daddy. How are you going to make it financially? He said, I don't know yet, Dad, but we're going to make it. His faith is increasing my faith right now. Say, why? Because I've been where he was. I remember when my mom and dad said, how are you going to? I don't know, Dad, but it'll be okay. Don't worry. You know how those words haunt you? Been there. Can I tell you something? Much of what we fear is because we want to be God and see the end at the beginning. We want to see the end before we do it. God says, mm-mm. You just start down the trail and then let me show you what I can do. Joe and Ashley, you started down the trail 6 years ago. We don't know what the end is yet, but I know this, that little boy's touched a whole church. Whew. Every time I see a bottle of bubbles, I think of Gus. That boy loves bubbles. Don't buy him anymore, please. I get in trouble. I bought him a bottle of bubbles. It must have been that big. He had half of it gone in the parking lot. They were bubble. It looked like the Lawrence Welk show in the parking lot.
And then they had to try to tear him away from him, and that was not the good thing to do. Now, wait a minute. That little boy's touched an entire church, entire family. Joe, your daddy got saved because of that little boy. I believe that. That boy's going to have people in heaven. Because Joe and Ashley said, I'm not sure what we're going to do, but we're going to keep on going. Whew. Thank God. Thank God. You see, we need to press on and do all we can and let God do the rest. In doing all we can, God gives us the strength to carry more than we thought we could carry. If you wait for the ability to carry the load, you're losing strength. If you wait for the ability to carry the load, you're automatically losing the strength to carry the load. By the way, when you're waiting and doing nothing, you become an enemy for the a target for the enemy. You become a target for the enemy. As a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Do you know who the devil's going to devour? The ones that are sitting still, not the ones that are flying around. You don't sit there and watch people exercise to get strong. Who's the little Fruit Loop that... Oh, Richard Simmons. You can watch Richard Simmons on the TV if you can stand it all you want, but you're not going to get stronger. Why in the world anybody would watch that? I have no idea. Good night. You can go to the gym and sit down on the couch and watch everybody sweat. Exercise. And you're not going to get any stronger. You've got to move what you can. I've been in enough nursing homes preaching. It's funny. They have exercise class. Did you ever see 95-year-olds exercise? They give them a 1 pound weight and they're going. Do you know what? That's what they need to keep going. It's not the size of the weight. They're doing what they can to stay as strong as they can stay. Christian life is much the same. You keep doing what you can do and God will give you strength to do more. Well, I've never read the Bible all the way through in 1 year. I don't care if you read it through in a year or not. Sometime in your life, great. I just think God says read his word every day. Get something out of what you're reading every day. Yes, good goal, read it through in a year. No problem. But you don't have to read it through every year. From Genesis to Revelation to be a super Christian. Just read it every day. Get something from God every day. When's the last time you talked to God in prayer? When's the last time you obeyed him in going soul winning? When's the last time you obeyed him with your tithe? When's the last time you decided you're going to obey him with your church attendance and be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night and get stronger so that you can go out and do more for him and carry more of a load for him? Everybody doing okay? Isn't that how we get stronger? Some of you are as only as strong as one service a week, and God has two, and then three. And then God has reading your Bible every day. And telling people about, I'm afraid to go out and knock on doors and tell people about Jesus. Who's not? Who's not? I'll be honest with you. I've been soul winning for 36, 37 years. Every time I go out soul winning, my first thought is, man, I hope they're not home. So you're the preacher. You feel that way? Yeah, you think I like doing it all the time? Now, the first time that door clicks open, something snaps and it's okay. But my first thought is, man, I hope they're not home. And then you see the guy open the door and his hair's about that long, sticking straight up right down the middle of his head. Looks like he got in a fight with a weed eater. And then the pop rivet gun came and stuck him all over the place. And then somebody threw a bucket of tattoo paint on him. And you're thinking, there ain't no way that guy's going to listen. And you're thinking, okay, here we go. And watch that critter bow his head get saved. Next guy, you walk to the door. He's dressed in a three or two-piece suit like I've got on right now. You think, this guy's going to listen to me. And then he slams the door in your face. Say, what's the difference? One wanted to listen, one didn't. I don't care who. I'm just there to deliver it. Amen. Who am I to judge? By the way, this is why you can't work your way to heaven. God did not ask you to carry the load to get to heaven. Jesus already carried it for you. You couldn't carry that load. You couldn't carry the cross. You couldn't carry sinlessness. You couldn't carry the righteousness necessary for salvation. But Jesus could. You don't have to carry that load. All you got to do is accept the fact. By the way, you say, why can't I carry it? Can I tell you the best part of the whole thing? Brother Joe, when Jesus carried salvation, he took it across the finish line. He took it to the throne room in heaven, put his blood on the mercy seat and said, it's finished. You couldn't go get it to carry it because it's already been carried. You just have to trust what Jesus did for you to take you to heaven. It's not your works, not by works of righteousness which we have done. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works. Watch this, lest any man should boast.
Right.
We'd brag about how good we are. Jesus already carried it. You can't even go get the load to carry. It's already crossed the finish line. You just have to accept what he did for you to take you to heaven. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who would say today, preacher, if I die today, I am 100% sure I'm going to heaven. Every head bowed and every eye closed, but you say, I know for sure I'm going to heaven someday. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. There were some that could not go up. Thank you. Who'd say, preacher, that's me. I'm not sure, but I'd like to know for sure I'm going to heaven someday. Would you raise your hand? All right. There's a few right there. God bless you. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere tucked away in that truth is something I personally needed this morning. There's something in that truth I needed. Oh, my soul, hands everywhere, virtually all over the room. In a moment, you put your hands down. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. As we stand to our feet, the music will begin to play. As the music begins to play, if you raised your hand and said, preacher, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die. If you'll just step out in the aisle at that time, we'll have somebody take a Bible. If you're a man, we'll have a man, a lady. We'll have a lady talk to you. In a matter of just a couple moments, you can know for sure you're going to heaven. You don't have to walk out these doors lost and on your way to hell. Jesus already carried that for you. All you got to do is trust him. If you raised your hand and said there was something in that sermon I needed, maybe you need to come to the front. Kneel and tell him what it is. Some of you that are my soul winners, I'm going to need your help this morning. Maybe you've been saved and you've never followed the Lord in baptism. Today's the day. We've got everything you need. It's all set up. It's all here. We can take care of it. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion in a Baptist church and you want to join our church, you can do that at this time. We'd love to have you.